I want to turn back to the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy. I want to read what Moses said about these national laws. Now, I'm not preaching personal salvation through the law. No one has ever been saved by the law. Abraham was saved by faith. Abel was saved by faith. And everybody that's ever been saved has been saved by faith in Christ and his sacrificial blood atonement. I'm talking about the nation. I'm talking about the national message of the Bible. And about 80% of the Bible deals with national affairs. Let me read what Moses said. I'll just read it quickly. He said, in regards to these national laws, "Keep therefore and do them." This is for the nation, not for personal salvation. "For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear of all these statutes and say, 'Surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding people.'" This is what would happen throughout the earth, just as it did in the days of Jehoshaphat. If the people of this nation could hear the national message of the Bible, the gospel of the kingdom, and then put these laws of God into effect in the nation, it would not only solve all of our national problems and ills, it would cause all the nations of the earth to do just what Moses said. He said, "And the nations which shall hear all these statutes, they'll say, 'This great nation is a wise and understanding people.'" We'd have peace throughout the earth if the United States of America, this great kingdom nation, would do as Jehoshaphat did and honor the law of God for the nation. Now, I should turn you back, for as much as we have time, to the 19th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Let me read verse 4. "And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again throughout the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers." Can you imagine anything like that? Here's one president, one administration. He turned the whole nation back to God. How did he do it? Well, I just showed you from the 17th chapter, and if you'll read on here in the 19th chapter, you'll discover that he spoke to the judges, and he told them in verse 6 of this chapter, "Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment." In other words, he warned the Supreme Court, and he warned all the judges of the land, "You be careful about your decisions, that you make them on the basis of God's law as found in the Word of God." My, what a thing that would do for our nation. It'd soon take care of some of this violence and this corruption and this crime and lawlessness. It would take care of it in short orders. And this, my friend, is what we're going to have to do. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, the Apostle Paul wrote that he feared that people's minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ, or the simplicity of the gospel and God's word. And there is no doubt that the very simplicity of the gospel of the kingdom and the national message of the Bible has blinded many people to this glorious truth and this wonderful teaching, the gospel of the kingdom. Nothing could be simpler than the national message of the Bible as set forth in the book of Judges. This is a book of 21 chapters, and it records the history, or gives the record, of about a dozen administrations. There's nothing else in the book, practically nothing else, except just one administration after the other, naming the chief executive and what he did that was good, what he did what was evil. Now, God had one prime purpose in causing this book of Judges to be written. And this, of course, is true of the other historical books of the Bible. And the purpose was this, that these administrations might be ensamples and admonition unto us upon whom the end of the ages are come. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 15, or in 1 Corinthians 10:11. And then in Romans 15:4, Paul wrote that the old scriptures were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Hope for what? Hope for ourselves, yes, but hope for the nation as well, because they deal with nations. There are about 50 administrations in the old scriptures set forth. Mind you, 50 administrations. And they are written that we might have learning, we might have admonition, we might have ensamples showing us what is pleasing to God and what is displeasing, and that we might have comfort and the hope of the scripture. So, we'll turn now to the 6th chapter of Judges, and we're going to look for some learning, we're going to look for an ensample, we're going to look for admonition for the nation, and we're going to see if there's hope for our nation. Judges 6. And the children of Israel, that's us, that's the Anglo-Saxon people, not the Jewish people. The Jewish people didn't come into existence till a long time after this. This refers to us, the Anglo-Saxon people, the nations of Christendom. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And let me call your attention to this one very important thing, that this evil was always one thing. Just one thing. This evil was always the evil of departing from the national message, the gospel of the kingdom, and the special blood covenant that God made with the Israel people. This covenant that he made with no other people. Now, the evil was always this one thing, departing from God's law, God's will for the nation. I'm not preaching personal salvation through the law. No one has ever been saved by the law. I'm preaching the gospel of the kingdom and giving you the national message of the Bible. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Now, what's the lesson? What's the learning? What's the admonition? Very simple. Simply this, that we have been harassed, we have been embarrassed and frustrated. In fact, we've been robbed and spoiled by the communists now for about 50 years. And how did it come? Why did it come? Because we did evil in the sight of the Lord. About 50 years ago, the nation began to depart from the national message and the gospel of the kingdom. So, what did the law do? Well, he did the thing that he did again and again and again all down through Bible history. Written for our learning, he turned us over to enemies to afflict us. We read verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And that's what the communists have done. They have prevailed against us. Every move we make, they take advantage of, and they turn it to their favor, their advantage, and to our disadvantage. And this has gone on now for years all over the world. And this, my friend, is the hand of Almighty God. Because you good people will not turn to the gospel of the kingdom and the national message. So the hand of the communists then prevailed against our forefathers, and they had to make themselves dens and caves and strongholds. And so we too have been forced to build up armament, unheard of armaments. Billions of dollars we have spent, and actually we've also built dens and caves and strongholds because of the communists. And why are they taking advantage of us? And why are they getting the best of us all over the world? Well, I read, and I'll read it for you again. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Now, the discouraging thing and the tragic thing about this is that you good people will do everything under the sun. You'll campaign, you'll fight, and you'll accuse, and you'll charge, and you'll kill. You'll do everything under the sun except the one thing that God Almighty demands that we do, and that is to turn to the Word of God for our nation. Let me read on. And so it was when Israel had sown, the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And that reminds us today of how we have been robbed, how we have been spoiled, and how we have been stripped of billions of dollars. Not only wealth, but sons and daughters scattered all over the world. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come up unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor oxen, nor asses. Now please keep in mind, this was something that God brought. I read it for you. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian. And this is what the Midianites did in the purpose and the providence of God. Now, I suppose they said, thought too that God was dead. God couldn't do anything to help them. Well, they found out a little later that God wasn't dead. They found out he's very much alive. And that's what we're going to find out too. Now I read verse 5. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And that's what we have. We have subversives, we have communists, and we have these negative destructive forces coming in from all over the world. And a great host of you good people think there is no hope. You think this nation is going to be destroyed. You think it's just a matter of time and we'll go down. No, my friend, we're not going down. We'll go down, all right, as far as getting down on our knees and our faces, but the nation isn't going down. We're going to turn to God and His Word. Let me read the next verse. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. Would you say that we're impoverished? Wouldn't you consider our national debt? When you consider our national interest payment every year, would you say that we're impoverished? And this is all in the providence of God. This was the hand of God. This was the purpose of God. This was judgment from Almighty God for one evil. Now, it didn't say many evils. It said they did evil in verse 1. And that evil, as I've stated, was simply this. They turned away from the Word of God for the nation. Now, they still had their priests, they still had their Levites, and they still had their clergymen, and they still had their churches. But they departed away from the national message of the Bible. They wouldn't hear the gospel of the kingdom. They were greatly impoverished. Then we read, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Finally, at long last, they'd had enough. Then they cried to the Lord. And this is what's going to happen here in America. God is going to give us enough. We're going to get our fill of our own way. We're going to get our fill of this Antichrist propaganda and this casting the Bible out of the church and out of the home and out of legislation and ignoring and blaspheming Christ. God's going to give us our fill. And after we've had our fill, those that remain, those that survive, those that live, they're going to cry unto the Lord. Until and unless we can learn and understand the reason for our many national woes, ills, and difficulties, unless we can understand the reason, we certainly can't do much about solving these problems and removing these evils. So we'll turn again to the scripture, and I want to try to show you that these evils and these woes, these problems, and all of these vexing things are upon us because we as a people will not hear much less do anything about God's word for our nation and for our time. So we go back to the passage where we closed last Sunday, Judges 6. We read from this passage in Judges 6, where we read that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Now here's a lesson, here's learning, here's an example, and I want to review, and I want to emphasize this. They did evil, not a lot of little things, one great big evil, and that evil was always that they would not hear, they would not honor the national message and the gospel of the kingdom. So God Almighty delivered them, actually, literally, turned them over to the communists of that day to be afflicted. And we read through this context how they were afflicted. We went over that. We go down to verse 7. Let me read verse 6 again. And Israel, that's our forefathers, was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, we haven't gotten there as yet as a people. We've certainly been impoverished. We've certainly been afflicted. And we have lost sons and daughters and billions of dollars because of the affliction of the communists, of the Midianites of today. But so far, we haven't cried unto the Lord, but we are. Now, I know there are individuals, perhaps by the millions, that cry and pray to God. But we must have more than that. The thing that God demands now is that our government, that the leaders of our nation, that they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's one thing for these men in authority, whether he be governor or president or mayor, to ask the people to pray. We must do more than that. We must pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, you believe this, because this is the gospel, this is the truth. To pray to God through any other name or apart from the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is an insult to God. It's actually a defiance of the Almighty. We must pray and cry to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they finally did. Then the next verse tells us what happened. And it came to pass when the children of Israel, that's the Anglo-Saxon people of that day, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent them a prophet. Now, it's interesting to note here that the name of the prophet isn't even given. The name of the man wasn't important. He was a man that knew the gospel of the kingdom. He was a man that knew the national message. He knew God's word for the nation. And when they cried to God because of the oppression and because of the difficulties that they were in because of the communists of that day, when they cried, God sent them his word. A prophet is simply a man that proclaims the word of God for the particular time in which he lives and speaks to the nation as well as to individuals. Now, clergymen, there are priests and there are Levites, but there are prophets. And God sent them a prophet. And this is what the prophet said. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. The first thing that the prophet did was to call their attention to the power and the dominion and the authority of God. And he did this by reciting some Bible history. Now, that's our difficulty today. We don't know who we are. We don't know where we're going. We don't know our destiny. And we do not read these scriptures. with understanding. Now, he gave them understanding, and he did this by expounding the historical books of the Bible. And if you're going to understand the subsequent scriptures, the new scriptures and Bible prophecy, you must first of all understand Bible history. So the first thing he gave them was Bible history. Then in verse 9, he went on and he said, speaking for the Almighty, "And I delivered you." Now, it was God that delivered our forefathers again and again and again and always. If you'll only read the historical books of the Bible, it was God always that delivered our forefathers out of their difficulties. Now, these people had forgotten this. They'd gotten away from the national message. They'd gotten away from the special covenant that God made with the Isaac sons. And they thought they could live like the other nations of the earth, like the heathen people. Well, of course, they couldn't, because they had a covenant relationship with the Almighty, and God sent the Midianites to afflict them and to oppress them and to rob them. And when they had enough, then they cried, and as I said, God sent them His word. And when they heard the word, and they conformed to the word, then deliverance came. Note here in verse 9 what I read. God said, "I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God." And my friend, we're going to hear this, and we're going to conform to this. God isn't going to settle for just a little revival and a little awakening here or there now. That day is gone. That's the church age. God will settle for nothing less now than the entire nation calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." And that simply means, you have not obeyed the laws, the statutes, the judgments, and commandments that I gave you for national and civil administration. Now, he sent a prophet, and the prophet brought the word of God. And if you read through chapter 6, 7, and 8, you'll find that there was a great deliverance. God Almighty took a hand, came upon the scene, and there was deliverance. This is what we find today. We find people looking to everybody and anybody except God. They will not turn to God. And that's true of you Christian people. That's true of you patriots and you conservatives. You look to new candidates. You look to a new party. Some of you are looking to a new party. Some of you are looking to a new program. Some of you are talking about a new approach. Some of you are thinking we need a new committee. We need some new investigation. We need some more appropriation. Well, my friend, these things are all good in their place, and I'm not opposed to any of these good things, but our deliverance has to come and will come from God and God alone. That will only come when we turn to the Word of God for our nation and for our time. I'm reminded of what I read in Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, "Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." A great host of you concerned Christian people, patriots, you're not looking to God. You're looking to man. You're looking to this candidate or some other candidate, this party or some other party, some new program, some new approach. You're looking to man. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't vote. I'm not saying you shouldn't be involved in government. Certainly we should. But we must look to God. We must turn to the Word of God and conform to the Word of God. And then God will prosper. God will bless. God will make us successful in our political efforts and in the various things that needs to be done. Thank you. Whenever in the past 500 years the Isaac sons, the people formerly called Israel, whenever during our history that we have ignored or rejected, turned away from the gospel of the kingdom and the national message of the Bible, we have always found ourselves, and this goes way back into Bible history, to the book of Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, we found ourselves in trouble, and all sorts of troubles, and the very same sort of trouble that we are in today. I've given you examples of this in the past, gave you an example last Sunday, but I want to give you still another example, because this is so important. And let me again make this suggestion, that whenever you read or hear any preaching or teaching from the old scriptures, remember what the Apostle Paul wrote concerning the old scriptures in Romans 10, verse 4, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. And I must repeatedly remind you of this, and the reason I do is because unless you keep this in mind that the Apostle Paul wrote concerning the old scriptures, you'll read them merely as sort of a history of something that happened in the past, has no meaning and no particular significance for us today. Just the opposite is true. The old scriptures were written for our learning, upon whom the end of the age has come. Today I want you to note and think with me on what we read in Judges 2, the book of Judges, chapter 2. We'll begin at verse 11. And as I state, what I'm trying to do is to give you an example from Bible history that will give the answer and the reason for all of the trouble that we are in all over the world and within our own nation. We must find the reason before we have any way of solving our problems or correcting these things. I read verse 11 of Judges 2. And the children of Israel, that's us, that's the Anglo-Saxon people, did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, it may not be evil in the sight of some people, but what we're concerned about and the one we're going to deal with in regards to our evil is God Almighty, not some man or group of men that may say it is not evil. When God says it's evil, it's evil. The children of Israel did evil, not many little evils, one great particular evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. Verse 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. Now, why this idea of their fathers? Because the evil that they did in the sight of the Lord was this one particular evil of rejecting, ignoring, and casting aside the special blood covenant that God made with the Isaac sons, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it's a covenant that holds and is in effect today. Now, the evil was this. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers. And this is done, this forsaking God is very simple. It simply means that they forsook the Word of God. You forsake God when you forsake His Word. Now, you may still believe that there is a God, and you may have your ideas about God. But if you neglect and ignore the Word of God, you ignore and neglect God. You forsake God. The only way you keep in fellowship with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood atonement and the Word of God. And the only way a nation keeps in fellowship with God and maintains the blessing of God is through the redemption that Christ purchased on the cross and for the nation to honor the Word of God for the nation. Now, I want you to note what happened. and they, verse 13, and they forsook the Lord. Now, that is, they forsook the gospel of the kingdom and the national message. Now, many of them were believers, personal believers. They had personal salvation, and they had their priests, and they had their Levites. But the nation forsook the law of God for the nation. Now, verse 14, and here's the answer. This is just as plain as can be. Here it is, and this shows, makes plain, why we are in the condition as a nation that we are. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Now, why wasn't God hot against the enemies of Israel? Why doesn't God turn his wrath against the communists and these negative subversive forces? Well, the reason is very simple. If you read Bible history, just as plain as can be, God isn't turning his wrath against them at the present time because he's going to use them to humble us and to bring us back to the Word of God. So, his anger was hot against Israel, just like God is angry with us as a nation today. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers. And we have been delivered into the hands of spoilers. Volumes have been written on that. You can get books and magazine articles, and you can hear about how we're being spoiled. Now, we've been given over into the hands of those that spoil us. Well, I want to call your attention to the fact that this was because God was angry with our forefathers, and he was angry because they had done the very same thing that we are doing today. We'll accept Christ as a personal Savior, but when it comes to the law of God for the nation, we cast it aside. We will not have it. And clergymen will not even preach it and teach it. So God's anger was hot against Israel, and he, the Almighty, delivered them into the hand of spoilers. You good people have been delivered into the hands of spoilers. Your homes are being spoiled. Your jobs are being spoiled. Your business is being spoiled. Everything you got's being spoiled. And yet you do not have enough understanding and knowledge of the Word of God to turn to God and repent. And we read that they spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies, our boys. Are being sold, literally sold, all over the heathen world. And the reason is, not that God couldn't handle the communists, not that we couldn't handle the communists with our military might, our men are being sold. What is this? Well, my friend, it's a judgment from Almighty God because you good people will not listen to the Word of God for our time and for our nation. So that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. Mind you, the hand of God against our nation for evil. And we don't have sense enough, knowledge of the Bible enough, to realize that this is the hand of God. As the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Think of the millions of homes today that are in distress and anxiety because of the condition in the nation and what's going on throughout the earth. How we are involved in evil and distress and anxiety all over the world. Now, if we just sit down and read these historical books of the Bible, a 10-year-old child could do this, and he'd see and he'd understand, well, all of this is the hand of God. All of this is for just one reason. We will not hear the Word of God. We have forsaken our God. And that doesn't mean that people don't believe there's a God. It simply means they have forsaken the Word of God. That's the way we forsake God. Thank you. We should, I believe, review and remind ourselves of the beautiful prophecy concerning our nation found in the 18th chapter of Isaiah. I call your attention to this, that students of Bible prophecy, as far as I know, all agree that this is a prophecy on the United States of America. And I think you'll agree, and I think you'll see, as we consider this beautiful chapter of 7 verses. It begins this way: woe to the land shadowing with wings. The original here in the Hebrew is rather awe to the land shadowing with wings. A word of greeting, a word of surprise, and a word of delight rather than warning and judgment. Awe to the land shadowing with wings. And I remind you that the symbol of our nation is the outstretched wings of the eagle. And we have actually been, literally been, a land of outspread wings. We've been a land of refuge. We've been a land that has welcomed people from all over the earth and given protection and helped people. This shadowing with wings symbolizes this, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Standing where Isaiah stood and gazing in the direction across and beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, his gaze would fall upon the southern portion of the United States of America. This was a prophetic revelation, of course. He didn't literally see the land, but he had a vision. He had a revelation from God. And he saw a number of very interesting things in this revelation. He saw, as we read in verse 2, that sendeth ambassadors or soldiers by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters. Now, this matter of upon the waters, all vessels, of course, are upon the water. But in the original, you have an added thought here. You add some more light. It says that sendeth vessels that are propelled or forced on by water. And that, of course, is the steamship, propelled and brought into cause to move by water. That's the thought here. Saying, go ye swift messengers. And of course, the steamship was the swiftest, the most rapid transportation upon the water that mankind has ever known up to this time. Go ye swift messengers to a nation scattered and peeled. Now this nation, this message goes to a nation that is scattered and peeled. In the margin of my Bible, I read, and this is what the translators placed in the margin, instead of saying that they were scattered and peeled, we read, tall and clean shaven or smooth faced. You recall in World War I, our ships crossed the Atlantic in World War I. It is known in history as the most rapid, the most swift transportation across the Atlantic at any time with a large body of men. And these men, these ambassadors or these soldiers, were the tallest men, tallest army in all history, and they were the first army in which all the men were smooth. That is, they were shaved. To a people terrible from their beginning hitherto. That's the history of the United States of America from our beginning up to the present time. We are now, of course, in this time of Jacob's trouble, when we're being humiliated and we're being humbled, embarrassed, and distressed all over the world. But the prophet deals with that a little later. We're interested now in this progressive revelation and development. So he says, a people terrible from their beginning. Because in our beginning, we defeated Great Britain, the greatest world power up to that time. So we were terrible from our beginning. A nation meted out and trodden down. In other words, as we read here again in the margin, a nation that meteth out and treadeth down. In other words, the land is stepped out. The land is stepped off. It's measured. It's surveyed. And isn't it interesting that the father of our nation was a surveyor whose land the rivers have spoiled, or, again in the margin, it says divided. You look at a map of the United States of America, and you see that it's divided into large sections by great rivers that run across the land, because this whole nation. Now, verse 3. And this all becomes very plain and clear and apparent as we go on. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye, when he lifteth up an ensign on the mountains, and when he bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. Here you have two very important times or dates in our history. The first one was when we lifted up an ensign, when we formed ourselves into a sovereign, independent nation. And the prophet said when that happened, it would be something that would affect all the inhabitants of the world and all the dwellers on the earth. And so it did, of course. And so it has, ever since we were formed into a nation. This new order of the ages has been a hope, and it's been an example and a pattern to many other nations. And, of course, it's been a deterrent down through the years against evil and wicked governments throughout the earth. And then the other thing here that we should note is the prophet says, when he bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. The blowing of a trumpet means and symbolizes the declaring of war. And this is what happened when the United States of America declared war in World War I. It became something that affected all the inhabitants of the world and all the dwellers on the earth. It actually became a world war. And this is what Isaiah saw. And that, of course, happened again when World War II came, and we entered into World War II. Verse 4, this is a progressive development and prophecy. Verse 4, so the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest. That would indicate that this people, this great nation, beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, which had been terrible from its beginning, this nation that would have an influence and an effect upon all the inhabitants of the earth and all other nations, this nation would be given time to grow and develop. And time was given. We were separated, isolated, and protected by two great bodies of water. And we were given an opportunity to grow. When God says, I will take my rest, that indicates there would be a lapse of time. Then we read, and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon the herbs and like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. Beautiful symbolic language prophesying, stating that great blessings, prosperity, growth, strength, and development would come to this nation. That's symbolized by the heat that causes growth and the dew also that causes growth. So this is a symbolic way of saying that this nation would grow and prosper, develop and become very powerful and wealthy. Verse 5, for afore the harvest, in other words, before the harvest. Now, you need to remember that Christ said the harvest was the end of the age. So note this. This is progressive. So before the harvest, before the end of the age, something tremendous is going to happen within this nation. We read, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening in the flower. There's growth and development in this nation. Now, it's in a bud form. Many things haven't been perfected. And there's some sour grapes. There's some things in our nation, of course, that must be corrected and must be removed. But he said before the harvest, and when this is in progress and development, something happens. He shall both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks, and take away and cut down the branches.